Just a warning, this will probably be the dumbest thing you will ever hear in your entire life. You will never get this time back, and you will probably regret listening to this right after you've listened to it. So consider yourself warned. This is Drop the Gloves.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Hey.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em
Where's what?
Out.
Where's your brewski?
Here we are, dropping the gloves.
Yeah.
It just starts like that. There should have been an intro in there, but we're not hearing it yet. My name's Chris
Burke. Coming.
Go ahead and introduce yourselves, boys.
I'm Kevin Fell.
And I'm Ken Trenton.
So dropping the gloves is essentially three of us guys who are in radio who just want to enjoy a couple pops and talk about different topics, really.
Exactly. Just kind of things that pop up in our heads once in a while. We wrote down the topics, we're going to put them in a hat, and we're going to see what's up.
Yeah, that's the best part. We all pick three and then kind of go from there. So pulling one out of the hat, first one I got is AJHL Stretch Drive.
First of all, since this is a downloaded show on iTunes, we should probably explain the AJHL.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ken, since you're the play-by-play voice of an AJHL hockey team, would you like to explain?
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is the Alberta Junior Hockey League, which is Tier 2 Junior A. A lot of people across the country would definitely be familiar with that. It's just a step below the Major Junior, which would be the Western Hockey League, Ontario Hockey League, and Quebec Major League. But this league is where players go, and most of them will not make the show. They go and they get scholarships, and there are some teams out there that are powerhouses, mainly in Western Canada, and up here in Fort McMurray where we're doing this, like, the Oil Barons are the show.
It's big. It is. It's pretty big stuff, really, when it all boils down to it. Junior A hockey in Alberta is big anyway. I mean,
very true.
You get some southern teams, it's all the WHL stuff. I should tell people that I'm drinking Molson Export. I finally got to sip on it again in Alberta.
Yeah, I'd like to know where you found that. I mean, being a Quebecer, like, how did you get your hands on that?
It's so good. Long story short, I have been in Alberta since, 2003, off and on, and haven't had it since then. And finally found it at a liquor store.
It's like your Labatt Crystal, isn't
you
it?
You have to be the most resourceful person I've ever known in the radio business.
It's your Labatt Crystal. I mean, the beer I can't find anywhere but in Grey County,
it's
Ontario.
True. It's like the holy grail of beer sometimes.
Yeah, hey, did you ever find Brewhouse in back in Ontario?
You can't find Brewhouse back here. It's a good Saskatchewan ale. All right, you know what? We've already veered off topic here. Let's get back on topic.
Okay,
Stretch
so
Drive of the AJHL
is Junior A, and our Fort McMurray Oil Barons are comfortably in the playoffs anyway.
Comfortably.
No, they are in the playoff races. They actually clinched that when they beat Drayton Valley back in December 30th. So. And Drayton Valley's been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs already, so we're not going to talk too much about them.
You know, but here's the question, though. We come up every year, like the last 2 years anyway. I've been here for 4 years in Fort McMurray, and the Oil Barons have come up against, went to the finals twice. Once was not a shocker. They were ranked third in Canada, and last year was kind of out of nowhere. They showed up. And Spruce Grove has been the thorn in the Oil Barons' side.
That's
going to
be their downfall, I think, is playing Spruce Grove again.
And
I'm scared of Spruce Grove.
I'm always scared of Spruce Grove. I'm actually scared to death of them. Ken, like, is there a way we can beat them or what? The Oil Barons.
I think it's closer this year than it was last year. Last year, you couldn't beat them. They were huge and they were fast too. I mean, if you tried to carry in the puck on your own, their defensemen were big and quick enough to catch up with you and knock you off of it. And their transition game so quick that if you were to dump the puck behind the net, I mean, they make one quick pass and those speedy forwards are gone.
Spruce Grove seems like one of those teams that's always going to be the monkey on the back, where you'll just never be able to, like the big brother who just kind of puts their hand on your head and you just keep swinging away and can't fight.
The AJHL is very much one of those leagues. When I worked in Saskatchewan for 3 years, The good teams beat on the bad teams traditionally. There really wasn't teams that had other teams' numbers. In the AJHL, you see that a lot. You see a lot of teams having numbers. For an example, the Fort McMurray Oil Barons have played Bonnyville three times this year and been shut out twice, lost all three times. In the case of Lloydminster, they've beaten them more often than not. St. Albert, too. And Lloydminster, the Mob have beaten them all six times, and same with St. Albert, except once.
I wonder if that boils down to, like, a money thing, though.
It definitely has to, because I was, Chris, it's funny you bring that up, because I was going to bring this up myself. Here's what I see in the AJHL that I don't see in any other junior leagues, whether or not it's major junior or like the AJ, is teams with the money. Like, let's talk the Northern teams. Northern Alberta, there's not much else. There's the Oilers, the Oil Kings, and then you got cities way more north than that, like Grand Prairie, Fort McMurray, And it seems like they have the money and they pay to get the players they want. And it's almost unfair to the Southern teams who are dealing with everything else. But in the same token, who cares? They got the cash, so let's do this. But it's the Northern. It's always the Northern thing that's the worst. Ken, is it like because we're powerhouses?
The Southern teams have an interesting advantage, but they, from what rumors say, have interesting and very poor rules. In the case, and I remember somebody with the Oil Barons was talking about this recently, and that's the fact that they talk about the massive budget of the Oil Barons, but you think of a team like the Calgary Mustangs or the Calgary Canucks, how often do they really have to get on a bus? I mean, for the most part,
that's right.
Like I would say, like 8 or 9 of their, like 9 or even maybe 12 of their road games are within an hour. Maybe Drumheller may be a little bit off, but at Camrose is the farthest they have to go. So the budget's not as high. But another thing they don't do in Calgary is that they'll only take players from the area because they don't billet players to keep those costs down, and that hurts them.
Do they pay players at all in the AJHL?
They pay the billets, do they not?
Yes, they do. So, billets do get a certain amount per month.
Not so much.
The players don't get like a wage or a per diem per game or anything like that, or you don't think?
Some do, some don't. I've seen organizations that do it. I'm not aware if the Oil Barons do or not.
Because it just seems like a lot of times you hear about a trade and then, oh, there's money involved in the trade. Like you're going to get a player, then you're going to get money. Well, you never hear what the money side of that is.
The phrase is future considerations.
That's what the official terminology
is? 9 out of 10 times is, but and 9 out of 10 times it is money. I've seen a lot of trades where that went down, where when I was in Melford, a player got traded who wasn't living up to expectations, and it said Shea Neufeld for future considerations, and I asked the coach, Daryl Mann, at the time, I'm like, so what'd you get? He's like, $2,000. And he's kind of laughing a bit at the trade, but that's kind of how it works. The Oil Barons, I asked Gord Thibodeau about this one time,
Who is the head coach and general manager of the Fort McMurray Oil Barons, if you're not aware?
Yeah, so I asked Coach Gord, how much do you pay these guys? Or how much do you pay for them to come up? He's like, no, I don't pay them to come here. I'll never do that because I don't want to have to pay a guy to play for me. If I have to pay a guy at this level, is he going to give me his all when we really need it? I don't think so. So instead, we're going to use our money and make sure the players that are here are treated like gold.
Okay, so Chris, you can probably agree with this. We've kind of got off topic once again. We're talking
about the stretch drive here.
All right, Ken Trenton.
We just wander mindlessly around.
Because we all have ADD like no one's business. But when we were kids, ADD wasn't anything.
There wasn't even a cure for it.
No, we just had Ritalin.
That's why.
We just had a mesh.
I took it, and I'm older than you.
Come on,
I'm older than you.
I don't think so.
I am maybe. Older than you. When were
he
you?
Is,
were you
he is. He is older than you.
81.
80.
Oh.
83.
You're a fucking young cat.
You swore.
I did.
Are you gonna bleep that out? Are you gonna fucking leave it in?
I don't know. We'll find out.
All right. So here's the deal. Let's go back to the topic at hand, the stretch drive. And of course, it's going to be a Northern team thing. We're going to be dealing with the Storm in the playoffs. We're going to be dealing with Bonneville, and we're going to be dealing with, of course, Spruce Grove.
You're going to have to.
And all right, let's wrap this up quickly. What's the finals going to come to?
I honestly can see a Spruce Grove Okotoks final as of right now, but at the same time, the Oil Barons are playing like a real improved group. That's something you got to worry about, and Bonneville's starting to slide a little bit. The way I see the playoffs shaping up in the first round, if the season were to stop right now, and it seems to be very indicative of how it's going to be, is that in the North, you're going to see Grand Prairie versus Lloydminster for the second year in a row. They're fighting it out for home ice advantage. Then the next up is the fight for second place between the Oil Barons and Bonneville. The Barons do have a slight advantage, but it could go either way. There's 3 games between those teams next month. That's going to decide second.
Bonneville does kind of have the thorn in the side of the Oil Barons when it comes to regular season.
Yeah, they do.
Why did they change the playoff format anyway? It used to be, just like everyone for themselves? You get seeded, you play?
No.
Now there's a north-south thing?
Yeah, no, the way it would work last year was that you would face the... The number one team in each division gets a bye, and only the 8th seed gets eliminated. So it would be 2 versus 7, 3, 6, 4, 5. They still did that. They did that first round. Then they'd go on to the semifinals. And then after that, they would have the top team face the team with the lowest point total. And then that's how they would do it. So there was a crossover. That's how it was an Oil Baron Spruce Grove final last year. Now this year they've gotten rid of that. So
there's no crossover this year?
No, there's no crossover. They decided to eliminate that.
So it's going to be a Northern-owned championship then, because the North teams are much stronger than the South.
Yeah, but you don't want to rule out a team like Okotoks.
Or Brooks.
Or Brooks, for that matter. But the bottom line is that Okotoks is very competitive, and they can give a Northern team problem. That was the only team that beat Spruce Grove twice last year. So that's you got to worry about them.
All talking aside, though, let's be honest here. If we're talking the AJHL, we're talking North versus South. The South teams are going to be playing the North teams in the finals. It is going to be heavily competed northbound because the South teams don't put the budget into it. It's not the number one thing. And you're saying Okotoks, yeah. But if they come against Spruce Grove, Oil Barons,
they don't stand a chance.
GP, they don't stand a chance because they're going to come into the rinks in the North and they're going to deal with the sixth man, to excuse a cliche. They're going to deal with the fans. They're going to deal with a nasty environment.
That's one thing that people don't get about Okotoks, though, is that I was there in the playoffs last year. You think it'd be
a they had fans come up to ours, too. Yeah,
they had fans come up to ours, and down there, they were getting 1,300 every night. If it was the Mustangs or the Royals, sorry, or if it was the Mustangs and the Canucks, sorry, guys, nobody cares about you.
Well, why would you? Like, let's be honest here. There's the Hitmen, there's the Flames, and who would go to that third league?
Lacrosse is popular out there, too.
Yeah.
All right.
The one thing that also I did want to mention, you may have a situation where the North teams beat on each other and then get into the finals a little bit battered or bruised.
Fair enough, yeah.
You know, if it's a North hockey's much different. Spruce Grove semifinal or challenging for the North title.
Say for the team that plays Brooks, because Brooks plays that physical Northern style. We saw
Brooks
that
does
yesterday.
Play a Southern style or Northern style, but the Southern teams play a more finesse kind of hockey, and it's kind of odd. It's kind of like East versus West in the NHL.
Yes.
North America.
That's a great comparison.
Europeans.
Yeah, it's a great, because you know it's crazy. All right, so Chris,
second topic I got on.
Should we wrap this up and go? Who's going to be in the finals?
Oh, I think Spruce Grove's got it over us, and they take it all.
Spruce Grove again, yeah.
I'm going with the Blue and Gold. I think they're a team with a mission.
What a homer, eh?
They're a team with a mission.
Team, I love it, and I'd like to see it happen.
Team with a mission, man.
Ridiculous.
But you know what? I could be wrong, and I have a feeling there's a chance I'll be wrong this year more than I was last year. At the same time, they did go seven games against Spruce Grove last year.
That's hedging your bets there, Kenny Trent.
There's something magic about them.
Ridiculous. Going for one and then putting your money on the other. So you're like, oh, I won. I obviously was cheering for...
I'm like a politician. I play both sides of the fence.
Ken, can you grab me a beer out of that bag while you're sitting there?
Absolutely. What would you like?
Wow, there's a Canadian in there. I'll take a Canadian.
Second topic we got pulling out of the hat is perhaps someone you've slapped or someone you'd like to slap in your entire life.
Well, where do I start? We'll go with Ken Trenton.
Oh, my word. Why do I have to leave this one off?
Yeah, why is he getting slapped?
No, I'm not going to slap him. I'm like, who would you slap if you had a chance?
Well, this is an interesting one to think about. Who would I slap? There's so many people. How would I slap them? Because, I mean, like, one could be like a slap across the face because of dislike, or because I'd like to slap a woman's behind because it's nice and it's firm and round.
Well,
like,
fair enough. I never.
All right, are we going to go with that? Are we going to go? You can slap someone.
You want to know, boys,
butt?
boys. Yeah. Here's a resolution. Why don't we just give one for each?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Good call.
So, like, a forehand backhand.
All right.
So the forehand.
All right, the forehand.
That's really quiet.
I know. Who would I like
to... Do you want to think on it and go to Chris Byrne?
Yeah, let's do this. I'm really having to think here.
Chris Byrne?
Probably in my top 10 celebrities would be Cameron Diaz.
Oh, I would love her to just... Never mind.
You know what? I found something pretty odd about her. Yeah. She actually went to high school with Snoop Dogg. She's a year younger than Snoop Dogg, went to the same high school, and actually bought pot off of him.
Yeah, I heard that on Howard Stern show.
Yeah, pretty stellar. So that's who's getting my forehand. Backhand? Oh, that's a tough one, too.
You don't dislike anybody. That's the thing.
I have plenty of dislikes.
You and I are very same. We're very nice, but we hate a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we are not shy to hide it.
No, definitely not. If I had to slap... Backhand a celebrity? Oh, it's going to have to be a celebrity, I guess.
Fucking Hollywood over here.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm man-casting, sorry.
Yeah, he's got his other podcast going on.
Yeah, he's also...
Now I know who I'll be backhanding.
He's also doing a phoner about something else.
What about you, Kev? Front and back.
Forehand, easily, Daniel Effertson. Would love to just cough him across the face.
Forehand's the love tap.
Oh, no, backhand. Which one?
Forehand's the love tap. Backhand is a pimp slap.
Oh, pimp slap? No. All right. Let me rewind that for a minute here. By the way, I'm going to remind everyone, I'm a little drunk. Backhand, like who
I'd love to
slap somebody in the face would be Daniel Alfredson. I would love to slap him and knock a couple chocolates out of his mouth.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Do you want me to explain why?
Yeah, of course.
In the playoff run, in one of the many Leafs-Senators runs, Daniel Alfredson viciously checked Darcy Tucker from behind, separated his shoulder, and knocked him out for two rounds as no call was made, and he scored the winning goal. So if I could just walk up, I don't hold grudges, but if I could walk up to him now, I would love to just right across the face.
I think I'd like to backhand Josh Koscheck, the UFC fighter. He fought George St. Pierre and lost just recently, and I can't stand that guy. I think I would backhand him right before I punched him.
See, we didn't even explain this. The backhand, I thought the backhand's the bomb because it's the backward.
No,
the backhand is like you're going to get the back of me hand.
You're doing it wrong. Like, yeah.
Oh, okay, I had a backwards hand.
Right. See the back of me hand.
You're doing it wrong.
And the slap on the ass for a celebrity. I know this is so cliche, but I know everyone's been in her. But I just want to touch a part of Pamela Anderson.
Oh, what a good call.
I don't know. I seen her roast, and I wasn't impressed with her.
Just want to touch a part of her. Yeah. Whether it's fake or real, I don't care.
You're thinking back to her Baywatch days.
I'm thinking of CJ Parker, I know, but I'm, you know. or you know what? Let's change that. Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
That's a good one.
There it is. I would just love to touch Kelly Kapowski's boob.
She grew up into herself.
Yes.
As she got older.
As she got older, she was not. I farted. You guys are going to be sorry about
just
that
ridiculous.
One.
Ridiculous. I could already smell it over the counter.
Yeah. Ooh.
Sorry. Ken, you're up.
Oh, first
good
off.
Good luck with that one.
You get a backhand for that. That's. Jeez. Oh.
Oh.
All right. Yeah. All right. So while we have a.
Hold on. Oh, look. I got this.
Yeah, Lysol that, please. Thank you.
It'll smell like apples.
I'm high.
You're up, bud.
All right. So the backhand is going to be Tom Brady because he's just such a little pansy.
He's so perfect.
He's like...
It pisses me off a little.
He's like one of those like real like people that's too good to be true. And Tiger Woods was like that too. And eventually we found out that he was having intercourse with other ladies. And, you know, you found out the guy's human. Tom Brady's freaking human, too, and thinks that he's all perfect, but yet he still is a little pansy on the sidelines doing celebrations, and he's home right now. So I guess he got the proverbial backhand last week, but if I could, I'd just like to go up to his home wherever he is and just smash him right across the face to the point where his teeth rattle.
If it's any consolation, they're saying that he's going bald.
Why is he growing his hair then? He's growing a skull.
He's hair long.
He's more of a feminine male than John Stamos.
Whoa! John Stamos joke. I like it.
And forehand.
Susie Wiles. I mean, how do you not? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, good. An inside joke.
Nobody
gets it.
Everyone will be like, who?
Yeah, who the fuck is that?
Next topic out of our hat is how do you handle praise or criticism? I pulled this one. And I put this one in here because I cannot handle praise. Anyone says anything nice, I always usually just back it up with something ridiculous.
I'm with you on that. Praise, I handle criticism way better than craze. Praise. I can take somebody saying you shit, you're bad, here's what you need to work on. But if somebody says you did a real good job, I get embarrassed.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It's kind of, oh, did a good job. Well, let my work speak for itself. And criticism, I don't give two sweets what anyone thinks.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. Yeah,
yeah. And in the case of me, like people tell me I'm great at play by play, and I don't believe it. I still don't believe it. But
then you're like, Dad, you're drunk. Quit calling me.
Exactly. Leave the amaretto alone, old man.
Put down Grandpa's cough syrup.
Yeah, exactly.
For God's sakes, Dad, again.
No. But yeah, no, I can respond well to praise because I mean I love it. Like
you
I'm not gonna
you.
Lie, but I love myself
you
at times. Yeah, I'm
so
a little bit
much.
Cocky like that. I wouldn't say I love myself so much, but I can deal with it. Getting better at dealing with praise. But
you
yeah,
love
I
yourself
can...
first, second, and fourth overall ever.
To be honest, guys, I think with radio guys, I mean,
we're all kind of self-conscious.
We're all self-conscious in our own little way here, and that's probably why praise is so hard to deal with.
That's the same way with actors, same way with people who do, you know, rock stars.
Anyone who's in the entertainment business is a little self-conscious.
I was just watching Johnny Depp If you've ever seen him do an interview, he's probably the weirdest person you've ever seen in your entire life. He's just awkward. He doesn't know how to answer stuff.
Yeah.
But when
you're
put him behind a camera, then there you go. That's magic, right?
Because yeah.
You kind of transfer into that.
Exactly.
Right. Next one out of the hat is the NFL Conference Finals. Now, this is actually going to be put this up online.
Kind of where I step out because I'm not a big NFL guy.
That's ridiculous. You should be.
Well, I'm going to go with the Steelers because they have Santus now, who's a rider. So I think they're going to win.
Isn't it Fantus?
Fantus. I don't know. I just kind of like
Chris Andy Getzlaff. Fantus.
Chris Getzlaff is the only player I like. So, but they're going to win because they have a rider. Saskatchewan Riders.
As this is going to be airing, like I said, it's going to be after the fact. So doing a prediction for myself, I hate to see Pittsburgh win 7. I don't want to see that happen. So the earlier they can lose, the better. So I'm going to be cheering Jets.
As a non-football fan, we're going to let Ken Trenton come in because he is a giant football fan, as are you. As a non-football fan, I would take the Steelers. And I'm sorry, Ken, you're a big Jets fan, but... I love Rothus. I love Big Ben.
Yeah.
I think that it was cool as shit the day he played with a broken nose and a broken ankle. And that's the kind of player I'm into in all sports. He played through the injuries. But we're gonna let the NFL fans are gonna step out of this one and
yeah,
let you guys debate.
It's great that you like someone that can play through toughness, but I mean that's also someone who sexually assaults a girl in a nightclub in Vegas.
And gets away with it.
Yeah, and gets away with it. And puts himself in that position, right?
It's true, but how many NFL players do that?
Probably lots, but how many get caught?
How many NFL players break a law once in a while? I mean, Michael Vick.
How many people in the world break a law?
Exactly.
It's until you get
caught. I did yesterday.
That's my AFC. The thing is, I don't want to see Pittsburgh win 7. And on the other side, throw a coin up in the air. I hate Green Bay. I hate Chicago.
So, but I would like
if,
the Bears.
If it was possible for two teams
to lose, Bears.
If I had to pick one, Ken, you might agree with this, being not a big football fan. If the Bears go to the Super Bowl, the Bears.
That's true.
Bears. Yeah, we can bring the Bears.
The president is going to be going to the Super Bowl.
The Bears. Yeah. We can bring the Bears.
The president's
back.
Going to the Super Bowl regardless.
All right, Ken. Now let's let the real football, like you guys, talk this out.
Pick your two.
All right, I'm going to start with the NFC because obviously with the Jets, I'm not going to lie, there's a bit of a bias that's going to come into play there because I'm going to talk about all the positives and none of the negatives. So we'll just leave that little disclaimer on the table. Number one, we're going to look at Chicago and Green Bay, and I like Green Bay in this one. Last week against Atlanta, I had a feeling they could beat Philadelphia. I was very undecided about that game, and in the end, I ended up picking Philadelphia. I was wrong. Then last week I picked Atlanta because Green Bay's record traditionally in a dome is not very good. And Matt Ryan is outstanding in that dome.
So quit picking against Green Bay and let them lose, man. Pick Green Bay this week.
Then that's what I'm doing.
Okay, good.
And that's what I'm doing because I also think that, Jay Cutler's life's going to be made a living hell by, Clay Matthews and AJ Hawk, two of the best linebackers in the NFL playing together. And I think that's going to come into play. And, I honestly think that Green Bay's a little bit stronger. It's going to be a cold atmosphere. And you know what? They're used to that. That's their type of thing. And Aaron Rodgers just seems to be getting better with every playoff game. So Green Bay.
So the next topic I got on this list anyway.
And Jets, of course.
And, of course, Jets. I mean, there was no way you were
going to
pick against the Jets.
Ken Trenton's going against the Jets. He's
no,
Jets
Troy
fan.
Polamalu, my last thought on that is Troy Polamalu is the wild card factor. When the Jets played them earlier this year, he wasn't there. And Sanchez was able to have a little bit more freedom. With Polamalu there now, that could be the game changer. If the Jets can neutralize him, they're winning.
Next one I got is movies you've walked out of.
I've this never one, done it.
You've never walked out. See,
never.
I was thinking this. I'm like, I barely go to the theater ever.
Yes.
And I have walked out of a movie. It was, I think, Jackie Brown.
You know why I've never walked out of a movie? I paid $12 motherfucking dollars to go there. Why would I walk out? I'm paying for it. I'm going to sit there.
I feel kind of the same way, but I've walked out of sporting events, too. Both two CFL games. Yeah.
Ditto.
The only
well,
one
ditto.
That,
ditto.
Everything never. Else, you'll never see me leave early. You'll never see me try to get out of the parking lot before the rest of the crowd does. And with movies you've walked out of, though, have you ever been watching one then stopped it halfway just because it was that bad and then never gone back to it?
Well, okay, once I was with a group of friends, and the boyfriend and the husband brought back Twilight. I refused to watch it. And sat down in the living room for 3 minutes and then walked away.
So that's kind of walking
Twilight.
Out of a movie.
Yeah, there you go. There's mine. Ken?
So Jackie Brown. I think I was trying to think. I did watch. I was like maybe Phantom of the Opera I think they made a movie of it, and I got through, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes of it, and that got thrown out.
I walked out, and this is when I was really, really, really young, with my mom and dad, and we were watching a movie back in Montreal. It was The Prince of Tides. 45 minutes, I was just like a restless kid. I could not take that fucking crap anymore, so I'm just...
You couldn't wait to drop that F-bomb.
No, I...
You
just talked about it, and I'm thinking of a movie that I walked out of, and I remember that because it was so bloody awful that I just, as a 12-year-old or however old I was at the time, I got up and I walked away, and I went to the bloody arcade, and I spent the rest of my time
there. See, that's the same thing. It's one of those ones where you... It pulls an emotion out of you to actually hate something that much.
That's the only one, though.
Do you know what, though? I sat through Bring It On.
Was that the cheerleading one?
Yeah, the first one. The one that didn't go straight to DVD. The one with Kirsten Dunst. Sat through it.
There's nothing better than movies that go straight to DVD, though.
They're funny. You know they're bad. You know what? That's combined
with me. You know they're either really bad, but you'll find like some real funny shit that you'll find on it. And then, like, all of a sudden, you're just going to be so into it. It's going to be the greatest thing.
I think that might be
been a couple.
I think that might be a topic for an upcoming weeks is best movie you've ever seen that went straight to DVD.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's tons of them. Yeah. Mighty Duck. Didn't Mighty Ducks? No, three went to
three
theaters.
Went to theater. There was no four.
Major League 3.
Major Back League
to the majors
3.
Went straight to DVD.
It was good. It was good.
There was a Major League 3.
I didn't hate it.
I got to watch that.
The funniest part was Rick Dorm was back in it.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so there we go. Are we moving on now?
There's a Major League 3.
Or are we getting close to time?
We're getting close to time here, so we got we'll give you one of two choices and you get a minute to go. Okay? So it's kind of a like a final last little slap. And it's funny they were talking about dropping the gloves because that's one of the two topics. So one of the two you get, best Team Canada in history or the Wayne Gretzky of fighting. Starting things off, Kev.
If we went best Team Canada in history, 1987 Canada Cup team. If we're going best tough guy, this is going to cause some stuff between you two and I'm sure. Ty Domi.
Well, I went to school.
You're from Bell River.
Yeah, I grew up in the same town as Ty Domi. I used to have his Othello book, so
yeah,
I can respect that. If I had to go my two, Wayne Gretzky of fighting, Bob Probert. Hands down, Bob Probert. No two ways about it. And if I'm talking
I think there's two topics between that. I mean, there's the Bob Probert and the Ty Domi guys.
Yeah.
And they'll separate the room, right?
The best Team Canada in history this year, or last year.
Really?
We won the Olympics, yeah.
I thought there's some weaknesses, but Ken?
All right, best Team Canada. I'm going to go with the two. You know what? I think of one, like, fuck, you want to know what? Like, 1987 is right there, and I'm so sorry. I can't disagree with that. Like, I mean, Lemieux Gretzky and Steve Larmer on one freaking line. Ray Bourque, Paul
And your third line center is Doug Gilmour.
Exactly. Like, he's just there to kill bloody penalties. Like, I have to agree with that. I mean, obviously, 2002 is pretty damn close, though, to that, because you know what? They did win that gold medal. Like, that 2002 team just had such a great work ethic.
I agree 100%, and I don't agree with Chris. I agree with Chris, too, that this last team was really good as well.
And as far as my Wayne Gretzky of hockey fighters goes, I'm going to have to go with Chris Nyland, Knuckles Nyland, one of the friggin' biggest, tough mother fridgers ever.
It's true. Yeah, it's really tough when you get into some of the different fighters. Because
yeah, well,
each one had their own, like,
two different
heyday.
Styles,
they
right?
all had their own, okay, their career starting to come to an end. Then they had they're just a punching bag to people. And
yeah.
It's just a chip on your shoulder to go take a run at them, right?
Well, think about it this way. If we were, like, 30 years older, we could be seeing guys like Tiger Williams or John Ferguson.
Or Bruce Ferguson. But also, I remember also, here's the one thing about guys our age. At one point, there was two tough guys in the league. There was Ty Domi, there was Bob Probert, and those were the heavyweights. And I find with guys our age who are two of us who are about 30 and yourself who is 30.
Yeah.
That's Ken. We're going to look back and go, man, remember the mega fights?
That's really what it is. I remember sitting there watching Don Cherry's Rock'em Sock'em, and you'd wait.
Five.
The part where he's like,
tea time.
Get your tea. Tea time.
If you don't like the fights, get out. It's tea time.
And that's what you would be waiting for. Of course, you see the hits, you see the saves, you see everything else. But it was those fights with those big, big names that really did it.
Remember, they were so big, though, back then. Like, it's so different now.
It's huge.
So different now. I mean, we could even get into a topic of the best goal-scoring fighters.
Well,
Probert.
You're just saying that because Domi decided that he had nice, soft hands. No, he scored 10 goals in a season.
His top is 15.
Wayne Gretzky was in 3 fights in his career.
No, the best goal-scoring fighter of all time, there's no argument, Gary Roberts.
Oh, Probert was a pretty good goal scorer, too.
He was a 30-goal scorer, yes.
He was back in the heyday. I mean, but Roberts wasn't a traditional fighter.
Yeah,
Probert was a traditional fighter.
That's when you get into role players, I guess.
How about we carry this topic
over? Gary Roberts was not a role player. He was not a role player.
No, he was a leader. I will carry this over, I guess, Chris.
It was a pleasure, guys. Here we go. There's the initial one.
There's the first one.
Yeah, definitely one.
The cherry's popped.
So cheers, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bottoms up.